Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are home.
Move along, nothing to see here.
You ain't gonna do nothing.
Keeping the heart affected.
Come on, come on.
It's the thing, bro.
Yeah, you know me.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. We're here this evening to do hashtag smack my picks up, hashtag down with the pickness for UFC 230, Cormier versus Lewis, which will be held November 3rd, 2018. At the Madison Square Garden in New York, New York. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to announce right at the top of the show that we are down a member. Unfortunately, Pam from the Pam and Sam show is off tonight. But that's okay, because sometimes life gets in the way. All the boys are here, though, so we're going to hold this down. We're going to go through UFC 230. We're going to do a little bit of doing our picks. We're going to talk about the storylines that are coming out of this particular fight card. Because you know what? We covered everything last week. We got to all the major news that the mainstream media is now talking about. So we're going to go ahead and get into this one. You know me. My name is Proteus. I am your host for the night. Let's bring in the not so much regular cast of characters. The boss man himself, who is really responsible for all of the content that comes out of this, editing, putting up music. Let's bring him in, the boss man himself, DJ Tony. Tony time, bitches.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yes, I do.
I always ask that of all my friends. I just like the sound of it.
All right.
Coming at you!
I love it. We recently had the first anniversary.
Pam.
Yes, we do. We recently had the first anniversary of Gordy's death from the Tragically Hip. And as you know, we had a little tribute to Gordy, several weeks after he died on this show. And thank you, DJ Tony, for bringing that back up. It was only a couple of weeks ago, so that's kind of near and dear to my heart. So thank you, Tony, for that.
You're welcome, my friend.
All right, so let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show. You know him, you love him. He's from deep, deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Guayaquil is on Halloween theme for my intro. I like it. I really like it. Okay, dudes. I suppose we have a big week of fight this weekend. And we're going to talk about it. So I'm not going to say shit. Just let's talk about me.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, we have Pam's picks for this weekend. Tony is going to be giving us those picks. So Pammy's picks will be on the show so she can contend. And, of course, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I will have the results of last week's show, if I don't forget. Because last week I forgot. So I'll do 2 weeks of announcements to tell you who won 3 weeks ago, and I'll tell you who won last week. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, DJ Tony, Marco should know that you have added that to his picks or his music since last year. And of course we have to say happy Halloween to anybody who was celebrating yesterday. Of course, we are recording on Thursday, November the 1st, 2018. And of course, all odds that we put out are live for today. They may be subject to change. So let's get into this, as Marco said, to the heavyweight division we go. DJ Tony, cue that music. Thank you very much. So we have the champion, Daniel Cormier, DC, fighting in the United States of America, 21-1-0 with one no contest, against number two, Derek the Black Beast Lewis, also fighting out of the United States of America, 21-5-0 and one no contest. DJ Tony, I'm going to throw to you, since the first lady of Amp Radio is not here to start us off, throw to the boss man himself. What do you got here in this five-round heavyweight bout?
Rubs the lotion on its skin, or else gets the hose again.
And of course, I don't have her voice nor her assets, but I do want to give you her picks.
So, let's go Pammy's first. You're right.
For the main event, Pammy is choosing DC, your favorite, Proteus, TKO via ground and pound in the third round. And I will go DC, third round submission. I don't think there's anything more dangerous, and Marco may agree with me on this, than someone that's being cornered. I do believe that Derek Lewis is a very dangerous man. He's certainly much bigger and taller than DC. I don't know about weight. Weight, they may be even at this point. But I got to be honest with you. I think DC has faced people like this before. People like this with the likes of Anthony Rumble Johnson, just a tremendous striker that kind of coils and comes out. I think Johnson's a lot faster. And we saw DC beat this kind of striker, Volkan Ozdemir, as well. We saw that before, and I don't think Derek Lewis has faced someone like him in quite some time, certainly, you know, the ground game. So I'm going DC on this, guys. He beat Roy Nelson. Yep. He beat Dan Henderson, beat Anthony Rumble Johnson twice. I think it's going to be more of the same. Love Derek Lewis. Love Derek Lewis. But I just think the smart bet's with DC, and that's why I'm going with Daniel Ryan Cormier. 39 years young, from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay, guys, and just real quickly before I give my pick, let me give you the odds. Daniel Cormier right now, 8:08 Eastern Standard Time on November 1st, is at -650 and increasing, apparently, and Derek Lewis is at a +475. Earlier on when I checked these odds, Derek Lewis was at a +500, so he has improved a little bit. As Marco says, guys, I think there is levels to this ship, and Daniel Cormier definitely is on a different level, I think, than Derek Lewis. And maybe Marco, you can keep the first question in mind, and secondly, you can keep the second question in mind. Do you think that Derek Lewis plays possum in order to bring in his opponents and kind of lure them into his game? So having said that, keep those two questions in mind, Marco. Having said that, I think this is going to come down to whether or not DC's hand is in top-notch shape. We talked about this last week. We didn't know whether or not this fight was going to go off. Apparently, Thursday before the fight night, it's going to go through. Everybody's cleared medical suspension somehow. And, we won't get into that right now, but the fix is on, as we say, DJ Tony. I think that if DC tries to stand with Derek Lewis, he's going to be in trouble. I know that DC has that punching power, but guess what? Derek Lewis is kind of a counterpuncher, definitely a counterpuncher, and I think perhaps he's going to be the heavier guy on that day. But as I said at the beginning of this rant, that Marco says that there are levels to this shit, and DC definitely has that top-notch wrestling game. Now, we have seen Derek Lewis in the past have some sort of submission game. If you guys remember, thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing the music. If you guys remember the last Toronto card, before the last Toronto card, there was a card that happened somewhere in New York, and Derek Lewis was on that particular card, and he was able to submit his opponent. I believe that is his only submission win on his record. So it can happen. However, having said all of this, I don't know that I can't go against DC, guys. I have to go here with DC because there are levels to this shit, and I think that Daniel Cormier is going to try and wrestle Lewis, the Black Beast, I think he's going to try and wrestle him, and I think he's going to try and wrestle him as long as that hand hangs in there. We've seen a lot of Daniel Cormier, except for today on the embedded episodes, with really big boxing gloves on. We saw him wrestling with boxing gloves on. We saw him punching with, 12-ounce, maybe 16-ounce gloves on, maybe trying to protect that hand. I don't know that for a fact, but it's still in my mind because that's something that DC was dealing with. And I don't know if that wrestling game is going to be able to get done if his hand is compromised. So, Marco, I'm going to throw to you. You remember the two questions. I'm going to take DC. I'm going to take him. He's going to take it into the championship rounds. I think it's going to be a fourth round TKO.
Okay, dude. I love to unpack you here, but
there's a lot to unpack.
Let's start with the caveat that we all agree that DC is a better fighter. Okay, better pedigree. Olympic level wrestler. Undefeated as a heavyweight. The light heavyweight champion, but with a caveat, because he has never beat Jeff Jones. But the legit heavyweight champion, he beat Stipe Miocic. And all this done, conventional wisdom tell us this issue with his fight, and he should win it relatively easy. And
yeah.
I believe that. I think that he's tough to beat today because of the hand issues and because of the short note of remember, Derek Lewis trained for the Volkov fight for 8 weeks. So this basically an extended training camp for 3 years. DC has only been training for 3 weeks. I think the path for victory for DC is what he did to Anderson Silva. He's going to grind and wrestle from the shadow of the
Marco, may I stop you there just for a second? Your audio, it sounds like you're far away from the microphone. So if you could get closer to your microphone so we can understand you better, that'd be great.
So better now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Like I said before, I see the power of this thing for DC is like getting to Anderson Silva. He's going to wrestle from the shadow of the Lewis, and, it's not exactly a bull fight. It does a way, it should play out. But for entertainment purposes, and because I love chaos, I'm going to call the upset. Because one thing about Daniel Cormier that he always gets touched. And if Derek Lewis touch you, you are in trouble. Derek Lewis has shown a lot of heart. And he got this innate ability to get up. And he'll be like, lay down. And then he decides, okay, time to get up. And he does get up. Basically, nobody has been able to hold this guy down. He had losses. He lost to Sean Jordan with that chin music. Anybody would have gotten knocked out by that. Mamie Dune beat him. There was a different Derek Lewis. And, of course, he lost to Marhan, but that was a super, super close fight, an entertaining fight at that. But for one reason or another, Derek Lewis pulled shit, runs out of his ass, left and right, against Volkov, against this other Russian dude that was beating him up, against Travis Brown, because he was losing the fight until he finished it. And, by the way, we haven't seen Travis Brown since. Remember that. So, just for entertaining purposes, just to create chaos, I'm going to call Derek Lewis by knockout on the fourth round. His ass is going to pull a shot, and it's going to shock the world. I want this guy to take away the Brock Lesnar fight from DC. I want DC to be forced to go back to light heavyweight because I don't want them to strip him of his light heavyweight champion with John Jones and Mustafa fight. So if he loses Saturday, he's going to be forced to defend the light heavyweight champion because he doesn't want to get a strip of his second championship. I want these chaos. He's going to be good for the sport. Derek Lewis has become an overnight sensation. He got a Popeye's freaking sponsorship plan now. Took it from DC, by the way. DC been talking about Popeye's for years and kept on Derek Lewis and take that sponsorship from DC. So there. Derek Lewis got nothing to lose. So everybody gave him a puncher chance, and I'm going to give him that puncher chance. I'm taking Derek Lewis by knockout on the fourth round.
Yeah, I agree 100% that if Derek Lewis is able to touch DC, that it's not going to look like anything other than another Derek Lewis fight where he knocks somebody out. Like, that's definitely 100% a possibility. And when heavyweight fights, Marco, we've seen that in the past. But let me ask you quickly, because I kind of agree with you with the storyline, and maybe DJ Tony, you want to add into this conversation real quickly. As we mentioned last week, I think that the storyline for the John Jones storyline, DC losing here, is kind of the best thing for the UFC. I don't think DC versus Brock Lesnar is going to do anything. If you look at the ticket sales right now, DC versus Derek Lewis isn't doing very well. You know what I mean? In Madison Square Garden, maybe Tony, you want to chime in first here. So, you know, kind of the things that we were talking about last week with this fight, you know, we didn't know if it was going to happen. We also kind of talked about whether or not it would be a pay-per-view success because it was such a short notice, you know, save the day kind of fight. So, Tony, what do you think about what Marco said, you know, continuing this storyline along that, you know, DC, it would be more exciting to see DC fight John Jones for the belt, and even if he loses this heavyweight belt?
See, I disagree with that, you guys. I think the best thing for the UFC would be for DC to win, fight Brock, retire, and guess what? Not that the UFC would ever do this, but now you can entertain some sort of tournament, some sort of, you know, something in terms of bringing new heavyweight blood. I think John Jones going to the heavyweight division is a possibility as well. They won't let anyone be a champ for too long. We know that. So I disagree. I think the best thing to do is allow DC to win. Mind you, he may lose, right? But allow DC to ride on it off into the sunset and get some new blood. Maybe Lesnar becomes the world champ. Who knows? I mean, anything can happen.
Right. So, Marco, continuing your line of thought, say John Jones or Daniel Cormier loses to Derek the Beast Lewis, the Black Beast, and then he goes up against Brock Lesnar, another fucking gigantic man. What do you think about that? Because ticket sales, again, Daniel Cormier doesn't seem to sell tickets, but John Jones versus Daniel Cormier does. And do you think that Derek Lewis versus Brock Lesnar is a bigger fight?
I don't think it's a bigger fight, but I think it's a fellow fight. I mean, Brock Lesnar sells no matter what, you know, just the name speaks itself. And we got to recognize like the guy's marquee. So I would be okay with that. And even Derek Lewis, if he sells, so he will give Stipe Miocic a chance to get that belt back too. Cause,
right.
You know, he's not really like too much into being the champ, to tell you the truth. You know, he just want to make money. But I want the men to get paid, man. I mean, a Brock Lesnar fight would be massive. It would be a huge payday for the guy. And it's a winnable fight for him, too, because we all know Brock doesn't like to get hit too much. And Derek Lewis hits like a mat truck. It would be interesting. Two massive guys. I mean, Derek Lewis cut from 280 to 265. Same like Brock. Brock has to cut from 280 to 265. The poster itself would be freaking amazing, you know, like the image of those two behemoths next to each other. I mean, like I said, chances are DC is going to win, but I just want the chaos. I want a little bit of a shake-up out there on the top. Derek Lewis is a marketable guy, you know. I mean, he's proven on Instagram and the social media following he got. And also, I would think it would be good for DC, too, because I don't really want DC to retire just yet, man. No, I don't want him to like ride into the sense, especially as good as he is. And as a light heavyweight, there is still unfinished business because he does need to be John Jones. Otherwise, there is always going to be an asterisk on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Okay, GJ Tony, to the middleweight division we go. Number three, Chris, the All-American Weidman versus Ronaldo Souza. I'm sorry, I had to get it all in at once. Yeah, Chris Weidman fighting out of the United States of America, 14-3-0 against fighting out of Brazil, 25-6-0-1, no contest. DJ Tony, since you threw the first pick to Pam, the first lady of Amp Radio, we go right back to you for this one. DJ Tony, let's get your pick first, then Pam's, then we'll go to Marco, and then I'll lead up to the end of this one. DJ Tony, what you got?
Proteus, you and I were talking about this And Marco, I really do believe this. I think this is a fight. This entire card is a card of the steady Eddies, right? No one's really going to be flashy, maybe except for Israel Adesanya. But I think everybody else is pretty much a steady Eddie, maybe some up-and-comers on the bottom half, Matt Frivola, Lando. But I think this is Chris Weidman and Jacare. I think we've seen the best that we're going to see from these guys. I was surprised, Proteus, at how far Jacare fell in the last couple of fights. I obviously had him doing a little better, and I think we've seen the last of him. And I think with many athletes, not just Jacare, but with many athletes, I think what we see is they come to a certain point, and after that, there's an incredible fall. I think that's what we're seeing with Jacare. I got to be honest with you. I don't think Chris Weidman is the same Chris Weidman once he got brutally finished by Luke Rockhold. But I think that fight should have been stopped quite some time. And I think Herb Dean knows that. He would never admit it. I do like, by the way, shout out to FS1 finally doing something on the refs a little too late because they're going to ESPN. But I have Chris Weidman finishing Jacare, let's just say in the third. And Pammy, okay, forgive me, I have to do it the way she wants it. Second round submission.
All right. Second round sub. Okay. Marco, Tony kind of alludes to the fact that, you know, Chris Weidman and Jacare Souza are kind of long in the tooth in this division. But, you know, they're the best we've got right now, right? You would agree. And from you know, what we're seeing off the embedded series, well, Chris Weidman looks in pretty good shape. So does Jacare Souza. So, I mean, I think that we've seen some bad performance out of both of them in the past, but I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this fight, and I know this is a late replacement fight because Luke Rockhold dropped off with some injury, but apparently he was training in London with the boys there in London this week. So I'm not too sure what's happening with Luke Rockhold, but let's focus on this fight. Who you got? Marco, you got Chris or you got Ronaldo?
So this is whole card is like what could have been card, you know? Rockhold, that guy gets injured all the time, and he's nice and he gets injured, like AKA famously injured his fighters. I mean, you look at, they did a little exercise on Luke Thomas of how many times Rockhold had been injured. I mean, from his Strikeforce days, he has been on a long list of like delays and being put on the shelf. So when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the world. But he's never healthy, man. He's always injured, nothing wrong with him. So what could it be? This was like the middleweight mini tournament. Everybody was excited about it. But it's still the card holds. When it comes to Weidman and Jacare, I mean, you're selling it short. Jacare just brutally finished Bronson. And Weidman finished the number one contender, Kelvin Gastelum, mm-hmm. the guy that's going to fight for the title early in 2019. So let's sell the guy short. I mean, the former champion from the Strikeforce and the former champion from the UFC, I don't think they're learning the truth. I just think the competition caught up with them, you know. I like the change. You know, I was looking forward to the Rockhold-Weidman fight, but I like this matchup a little bit better. It's a fresh matchup. We never seen this fight before. Everybody has always talked about what will happen if Jacare and Weidman get together. Now we get to see it. I like what Jacare did with Bronson, but I don't think that would be enough against Weidman. Like what we said, there is levels to this shit. And I think when Weidman is on point, he is one of the best middleweights in the planet. Even on the fight against Romero, Weidman was winning until he got caught by, you know, what Romero is going to Romero. Romero's always
he was winning until he got caught?
Yeah. Romero is going to lose the fight until he wins it. He has done it several times. So I'm going to pick Weidman on this one. I don't think it's going to be a knockout. I mean, these two guys are elite. The two guys are too good, you know, to just get blown out of the water. It's going to be an entertaining fight, especially if it goes to the ground. But I'm still going to pick Weidman on points on a 30-27 close fight. I mean, it's going to be a 30-27 decision, but still a close fight to Weidman.
Okay, fair enough. I think that what's happening here is we're really kind of reflecting the odds here, guys. And let me give you the odds real quickly. Chris Weidman is at a minus 185. Jacques Array at a plus 160. So that's, I mean, that's pretty close, right, Marco? And for odds wise, I mean, that's pretty close. I mean, I think everybody's thinking that it's going to be a close fight. And if both guys are preparing for, preparing for someone else. Both guys, as I mentioned, look like they're in shape. They look like they're ready to fight. I mean, what we've seen on the embedded so far is that, you know, they're kind of buddy-buddy. Every time they see each other in the hallway, they're very respectful. And I think that's the kind of thing that I like to see. You know, be serious on fight night. Be serious on you know, the I don't know, press conference day, you know, be serious then. But, you know, if you see each other, you know, there's no need to fight in the hallways. I don't want to see that shit. I think we're both, you know, I think we're kind of underestimating Jacare and how much his striking has improved. And like Marco says, these are the two top-notch guys in the division. This is a hard fought bout, and yes, this is the better fight, I do believe. I think this is, if we could have gotten these guys 8 weeks both preparing for one another, maybe we wouldn't get to see what we're going to see on Saturday night. I think we're going to see Jacare come through. I want to say he's going to do second round TKO, but I think it's going to be second round submission.
A little nugget that came out today of those interviews that they did on the media day.
Yeah.
If Weidman wins today, on Saturday, he's going to be the alternate for the Whitaker versus Gastelum fight. So if something happened to Gastelum or Whitaker, Weidman is on deck for that, either interim or for the championship. Just throwing it out there. So there's a lot of motivation for Weidman for this fight.
I mean, anything can happen, right? I mean, I just think that the UFC throws out storylines just that we'll be interested in, you know, whatever they're throwing out. You know, DC is.
They did it for the welterweight champion with Till and Woodley. Kamaru Usman was the alternate. He did make weight, and he was on deck just in case something happened to one of the participants. They said they told Weidman, if you win this fight, you will be the alternate. So let's throw it out there. He is motivated because it is a path for the championship for him. Basically, he's on deck right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to try and disagree with you, but I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, people have been screwed out of shit before, so I until it happens, till it's right in front of me, I don't believe anything the UFC says. That's right. Don't believe anything Lord Dana says.
Fair enough.
All right, guys. So let's go, DJ Tony, if you can cue the music, to the middleweight division we go. One fight that we wanted to talk about was the curtain jerker for the main event, Derek Bronson versus your boy, the style bender. So let's get into this. Number 6, Derek Bronson fighting in the United States of America, 18-6-0 against number 9, Israel Adesanya, as I mentioned, the last style bender, fighting out of Nigeria, 14-0-0. And he likes to toot his own horn. We've heard him on the embedded shows saying he doesn't lose. Don't worry about it. He doesn't lose. I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take the reins on this one, guys. And then we'll go to Marco. And then we'll get Tony and Pam's picks. As I've mentioned previously on the show, I think Israel Adesanya is a very, very talented prospect. He's very John Jones-esque. I think that Bronson is a very, very tough step up for Israel. I would love to see him continue his winning ways and go to 15-0, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that Bronson is going to be smart on the feet and look for his times for takedowns and time them well. You know, we've seen Derek Bronson work his game very well against other peeps. And I think this is, as I mentioned, a step up for Israel. And I think that it probably will be a learning lesson for him. If he wins, that's awesome too. But, I mean, I think Derek Bronson is going to take this one down. I think he's going to win it. And Bronson is going to take it down. Third round TKO. Okay, Marco, let's throw to you quickly because and before you go, let me give you guys the odds on this one. Derek Bronson coming at us at a plus 265. Israel getting that hype show, that hype train running at a minus 325. Marco, let's talk about the odds real quick and then give us your pick. What you got?
So I'm a firm believer of Israel Adesanya. By the way, he got like four different names. Because, you know, Nigeria.
Yeah.
You say Nigeria, but he does fight out of New Zealand. You know, that is his home,
yes.
His home state now. But or home country.
They have him listed on the UFC website as Nigeria. That's why I mentioned it. Sorry.
I know. They're trying to sell that part because they're going to Africa soon. I am a firm believer on Israel Adesanya, dude. And he showed me a lot in the freaking Tavares fight.
Yeah,
really good takedown defense, man. And I don't like the way Brooks fights standing with his chin up too much. Israel Adesanya will light you up. He doesn't got that much weight, so he's going to have the speed advantage, you know. We have seen that his cardio is top-notch. He doesn't get tired. Anderson Silva than John Jones, because he's a striker. He's more of a pure striker, you know. John Jones is wrestling base, and then he brought his striking around it. But, you know, that's semantics. I don't know the Adesanya train. I think Bronson is going to try to take it down. I'm going to try to take it down. If he does not get that takedown, he's going to be in trouble. Adesanya is going to be able to start dictating the pace. He's going to jack him to death. And eventually, I see he's going to style bend on Bronson. And Bronson, we're going to see him get knocked out before because he goes in with the chin way up, and I mean he's dangerous. You know he can crack, but against a guy like Adesanya, yeah, try to pull that shake, you're gonna get style on. I'm gonna pick Adesanya with a second round KO. You know, and the style bender is gonna start styling on people.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a possibility. He, like I said, he's definitely a hot prospect. So Tony, let me just throw this fight to you, and let me just throw this question to you as well, because pay-per-views, they've been in question, you know, frequently, and we've seen that the pay-per-view numbers haven't been all that great. So we kind of touched on this last week, but let's get your idea of what you think this is going to sell real quickly, because Daniel Cormier, he's the champ, but does he really have the ability to draw pay-per-view? So I throw that question to you too, and who you got in this fight, Bronson or Adesanya?
Let's go ladies first, Proteus.
Okay.
So Pam. I totally agree, by the way, with everything that Marco has said in terms of Israel Adesanya. I think he's amazing. So Pammy has Brunson. She says, I got to go with my hometown guy, second round TKO.
That's right.
So Pam going with her boy, Derek Brunson from North Carolina. I don't see it that way. I totally agree with what Marco said. Totally agree with what you're thinking. I think Derek Brunson, I think Derek Brunson, he fights a certain way, and it's kind of tough. Like, even I fought a certain way. I certainly fought with my chin down, but I kept going forward. I think he's going to do that, and I think he's going to lose to a much younger, faster fighter in Israel Adesanya. I think Israel Adesanya is just John Jones-esque for sure, right? I mean, for sure, yeah. John Jones-esque. 14-0, tough to go 15-0, but he beat Brad Tavares, who reminds me a lot of his fighting style of Derek Brunson when he's swinging away. So I'm going Israel Adesanya. I'm going second round TKO with the last style bender.
Can you give me Pam's method of finish, please? I got second round, but I didn't get the finish, please.
Brunson, second round TKO.
Okay, so everybody's going with a finish in this fight. Well, that's interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, guys, we're coming up on it here. So, and as I said, I don't know if I said this at the beginning of the show, but I want to throw kind of a shorter show tonight. So we've talked about Tony, you didn't answer what you thought about the pay-per-view buys. What do you think going forward here with Daniel Cormier and maybe Derek Lewis's peaking success because his balls is hot? What do you got going on here for pay-per-view?
I think you and Marco are going to agree with me on this one, guys. I'd be surprised, like really surprised, if it does over 300,000 buys. I don't think it's going to do that. I think it's going to do about 200 or 250. I think it's too much too soon on a very poor card in New York where they promised huge things. I think this is going to kind of bomb, and I don't think it's DC. I just don't think it's the card strong enough.
Marco, you want to get in on this? Tell us what you think it's going to be pay-per-view buys.
I disagree a little bit with Tony here because only enough, this is fine. I've been picking up steam, especially on mainstream media. You know, people have been talking about it on regular radio, morning shows. And there is a small buzz, especially not as much because of DC, but because of Derek Lewis. And DC has been a freaking war horse when it comes to media blitz. I mean, he's been everywhere promoting this fight. So I don't think he's going to, you know, do ballbusters. But within the 350,000, 400,000 mark, I think it's possible. So let's settle at 350,000. I think it will do as much, and it'll be okay. Anything about 100,000 is a success for the UFC in this NH. You know, they make money right after 100,000. But I think 350,000 is a good number. I mean, there is buzz about Derek Lewis, and people have become aware that he's fighting this weekend. So, you know, especially here in Texas, and the Houston area, a lot of people are rooting for this guy. So it's going to do well just because of the market here, and, you know, on the South. And just because it's New York, man, it'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to strongly disagree with you guys. I was with a casual fan last week watching the fights, and he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he was like, well, it's because there is no fights of interest for me. I think this will be lucky to do 200. I'm going 150 to 200,000 on this one, guys. I just don't think like Tony said, it's too much. There's just too much going on, and I don't think DC is – I mean, he's saving it for us, you know, the hardcore fan. I just don't think that it's going to resonate the casuals.
That is the same. Like the boss that you get in Canada is different than the boss we're having here in Texas, because the casual fans here in Texas are paying attention just because Derek Lewis is for Houston.
Yeah, so, no, I get that. Go ahead.
You're getting a different boss up there than we're getting over here. That is what I said. That it's gonna you got a different feel. I understand that. So yeah, maybe your end might not be good, but on this end it's gonna do pretty good. So maybe that's what I'm throwing 350,000 because I don't think it's gonna be blockbuster, but I don't think it's gonna do as bad either.
Okay. No, I'm not trying to argue with you. I just think that as many people in Texas that can buy it. I mean, if we're only working on Texas, I mean, I don't know if we get 350. All right, guys, let's go ahead and throw it to everyone's favorite segment of the show. Marco, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. You are first for Spotlight Fight of the Night in the rotation. What you got for your Spotlight Fight of the Night on UFC 230?
Okay, so I'm going to show some luck to Shanna Eubanks and Roxanne Modafferi. Poor Eubanks was supposed to be the main event that never was, and she was supposed to have a title shot that she never got. Poor girl, man. She's been bouncing around like there is no tomorrow, man. I think I replay, but Derek Lewis hot ball, so, you know, whatever. But I am thinking Roxanne Modafferi on a small upset, because a lot of people I'm not showing a lot to Roxanne Modafferi. Roxanne Modafferi was the number one seed on that season of The Ultimate Fighter. And for better or for worse, Roxanne Modafferi has become a much better fighter. She's much more experienced than Eubanks with a 3-2 record, mind you. Roxanne Modafferi has been working out there with Extreme Couture. Her striking has become really, really, really functional in MMA. Everybody knows about her jiu-jitsu. It's first level. It's just a black belt. I think the experience of freaking Modafferi is going to carry the day. Yeah, she might be a little bit undersized, you know, on the physical aspects. You know, Eubanks should be the stronger fighter. But technically speaking, Roxanne is the better fighter, so I'm going to pick Roxanne in a 29-28 decision.
Okay. 29-28. And let's remember that this is the second time we're seeing this fight. The Ultimate Fighter, they did fight, and Eubanks won that fight. DJ Tony, let's go ahead and throw to you for a spotlight fight of the night, please.
So Pam's spotlight fight of the night is Groovy Lando Venata, first round TKO over Matt Travala.
That fight is on early prelims. Just
I'll
so
just
everybody
tell
knows.
You what she wants.
She wants to cue the music.
No, no cueing the music. She's just a big Lando Venata fan out of course, New Mexico. I cannot co-sign with Marco on everyone loves Roxanne Modafferi. I think she's everyone's friend, no doubt about it. Big fan, love her personality, love everything that she brings into this, but can't co-sign there. My spotlight fight of the night, guys, how about this? And Proteus, I'm not going to take this away from you because I think you're going a certain way. I'm going to go with Killer B, Ben Saunders, who was a guest of MMA Junkie, and he will fight Lyman Good. I'm going Lyman Good. Lyman Good decision over Ben Saunders.
Okay. So, yeah, you actually went with the fight that I was going to pick, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the friend of the show, Jason Knight, in the main event of the prelims against Jordan Rinaldi. I think this is going to be a tough fight. For a night, you know, Rinaldi, pretty big dude. Seems like a heavy wrestling base at 145 pounds. Of course, I'm going to go with Kid. I'm going to go with Kid in a second round TKO kind of KO fashion. I think he catches Rinaldi coming in
yeah,
and makes
all,
him pay.
We're all rooting for Hick Diaz. We know that he's in a three-fight skin. He's better than
yeah.
a three-fight skin. I mean, the Ricardo Lamas, you know, fair play.
The Lama.
Yeah, but the Lama Lamas. But the other two fights, man, they were very winnable for him. And, you know, he just was at the wrong end of some decisions. So we're rooting for Hick Diaz, and hopefully he'll come out there shining like he should.
Yeah, and as I said, both guys there in this fight coming off of a loss. So, you know, kind of one of those fights that, you know, that should happen with guys coming off of losses. And like you said, yeah, Jason Kidd should not, he's better than a three fight skid, but you know, sometimes the UFC gets in your head and it sometimes gets in the way. Okay, guys, let's go to Twitter follows of the week and or guilty pleasures of the week. Okay, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Guilty pleasure of the week.
I just wanted to do a dramatic pause, you guys. My guilty pleasure of the week, I got to agree with Marco. I'm a Halloween guy. I'm a Destination Truth type of guy. So shout out to Josh Gates, Destination Truth on the Sci-Fi Channel. And my Twitter follow of the week, guys, rest in peace. I think you and Marco may agree with me. Rest in peace, Project Spearhead. So my Twitter follow of the week is at Leslie_GF. Good person, good representative. Unfortunately, Project Spearhead is probably no more. So shout out to that.
All right, guys. First of all, I wanted to give a shout out to Chad Dundas, previous guest on the show. Go back in the archives if you want to hear that interview that we had with Chad Dundas. But his child has been, you know, seriously ill for the past week. Hopefully going home,
pneumonia,
as we heard.
Pneumonia,
yeah.
Yeah. The kid is better, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just quickly shout out to him. And my Instagram follow or my YouTube follow is at Chase the Comet. They're a band out of LA area or California. And they just came out with a new track. Today, just go on to their Instagram or go on to their YouTube and give that song a listen, because I mean, it's pretty good. I'm going to be honest with you. It kind of tackles some of the issues that we're going through in today's modern world. Great video as well. She's also very attractive. So go ahead and check them out at Chase the Comet. Marco, why don't you go ahead and get us out of here for tonight?
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead. So follow Tony at IMDJTony. Follow Bruce at Bruce. Follow Pan at Pandora Box. You know, even though she's not here, we're still thinking about you, Pan. Follow me at Maldon Marco. So my guilty pleasure of the week have been the podcast. Man, I forgot the name of the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Astonishing Legends. There you go. Astonishing Legends, their Halloween special is awesome, and it's a three-part series. I will recommend for you to listen to all three parts of Astonishing Legends Halloween special, especially the second show. You're going to hear an EVP, an electronic voice phenomena, that will creep the shit out of you. I swear to God, when I hear this crap, I had to turn this. I was listening at night, you know, trying to go to sleep. I heard this thing. I had to turn the light on and walk around and, like, relax myself and make sure that everything was okay, in the house. Very, very creepy. These guys are amazing at what they do in the show. Just go and check it out. The show is about the Sally house. Was featured on a sighting back in the 1990s. And they'll recap a lot of the story of the Sally's house having a cancer. So go and take a look at it. It's a really good three-part show. Check it out. That's part of the show. Another MMA cast, Radar Radio, Taco Cast, we're on Google Play, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. Leave us a comment. Give us some 5 stars, you know, so people can find us. As Michael here is talking about fights this weekend, what can I say? On Madison Square Garden, New York City, we've got a league of guys. As you got this week, enjoy the fights.
And just like that, DJ Tony.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.